I'm Danica Juarez.
And I'm Jan James.
And this is
How's It Hold Up?
Hi, I'm Danica.
And I'm Jan.
And I'm Valerie.
And today we watched a Merry Melodies cartoon from 1935 called Billboard Frolics. This cartoon, in terms of what happened, mostly shenanigans involving the different billboards. And then partway through, we're introduced to a little chick, like a little chicken that tried to get a worm. But then a cat appeared and was trying to get the little chicken. And then the billboards tried to help the little chick by shooting at the cat or sending a dog from the billboard after the cat and stuff.
And the chick was from a billboard.
That's right. The chick was from a billboard, too. So I don't think the cat was.
No. Yeah. The chicken,
or the worm, necessarily?
The chicken hopped off because it was looking at a worm. It was eyeballing it. It was going to eat it. So, yes, a worm and a cat are the actual creatures. And the dog and the chicken were from the billboard.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Okay.
But, yeah, what did we think of this cartoon?
It was interesting. There were things I liked and there were things I wasn't a real big fan of, but overall, the whole premise was interesting, and it was fairly fast-paced and a lot of action going on, so I was at least engaged.
I think I caught why you showed us this particular short.
You did. We'll talk about it in a different section, but yes, you caught on.
It was fine. I guess it reminded me of that Bosco one with stuff in the billboards when he was on the trolley.
Yeah, yeah.
But just a lot of that. It was kind of,
I think we're still seeing the evolution of that type of Warner Brothers cartoon. They do keep doing these sorts of things where billboards or books or whatever, like the characters will come out and like sing and do different silly things. Like that is still a type that will continue to exist. So it's fascinating seeing, like, yeah, we've gone from that being a small part of a Bosco cartoon to where that's, like, a good half or more of the cartoon.
Yeah, it's interesting to see it transitioning to something that has a satisfying ending, or attempts to, anyway. It was fine. I don't know if there's, besides the thing to point out, any highlights.
Yeah, I wouldn't personally probably bother to watch it again. It's mostly for a thing that we'll talk about, a historical sort of thing. But also, yeah, it's fine, but I feel like there are going to be future Warner Brothers cartoons that take this basic concept and do it better, even if it's also probably not ever going to be my favorite type of concept. Like, I prefer a story with characters and stuff rather than just gag after gag, but there will be better cartoons with better gags, definitely, so I wouldn't see a lot of reason to rewatch this outside of the historical value.
Yeah, and I think also what kind of kept me or keeps me also on the fence is there's so much that was offensive. Some, you know, that I know we'll talk about in another section. To some extent, I just mean even the premise of the billboard was. And then again, there were no really main characters other than the little chick who I felt so sorry for, because the little chick did have a rough time of it. I mean, you know, chickens normally go after worms, but the worm was really mean. I mean, one thing is like the worm got away, but then it was just being very mean to the little chick. And the poor little chick was just having a rough go of it. And then, of course, the cat enters the picture and obviously, things didn't go any better for the little chick. So I found myself rooting for the little chick and felt bad for the little chick. But yeah.
No, I mean, we basically already started to get specific. Yeah, what else do you guys have thoughts-wise about the story or lack thereof and the characters?
It was interesting. The overall, most of the designs I didn't enjoy. I don't enjoy the Warner Brother aesthetic, especially for people. Now, with animals, no problem. And I think what they were doing a caricature of, I don't know who the character.
I forgot to write it. It wasn't someone that I recognized, but the first billboard, both of the characters on there are caricatures of people.
But the one, anyway, one of the caricatures
was
more detailed. And I think my objection to it is the face proportions, just there's too much too much eyes, mouth, you know, for the actual face and head. And it just looks creepy. I think I was saying this earlier to Danica off camera, but it almost gives me the looks they make the faces when they make the faces that out of proportion of the eyes and the mouth too big, almost looking like a ventriloquist dummy. And that's just in and of itself, just kind of that creepy look. But anywho, so yeah, so I wasn't big on the aesthetics. Some of the female that were in, one almost looked like Dutch shoes and like the whole outfit. I do like that at least the females that they did have, as far as what they were wearing, you know, they were, we can talk in another section about them being, you know, othered or sexualized, but they weren't being provocative per se. And so some of the designs, especially primarily with the animals and other things, I enjoyed, but then others I didn't. So
yeah, the point is there's these characters on the billboards coming to life and dancing to little tunes. It starts with the caricature people. I forget what the first guy is named, but the second guy is called like Rub Him Off. Which is like, okay.
I think the actual person's name would be like Rudinoff or something.
Right, like right. But yeah, like I caught that. But then there was a point where some clothes started getting in on the action, clothes on a clothesline and dancing. And I guess that's the jump to the posters to the clothes. I'm like, I guess I wasn't sure the framing of that.
I think there's not a whole lot of story characters, so we're combining a lot of animation here, which is fine. But the reason is that the clothes bit is basically fully just taken from a previous Fritz Freleng cartoon with dancing clothes as the main theme. Like that's the reason that feels sort of out of place, because it is.
You know, and it's interesting because what they wore and the actual clothes for the women that came out of the billboards was not over-sexualized as far as the actual, you know, clothes that they wore. But interestingly, the clothes that were dancing, the woman's would have been, if that they had had a woman in the clothes, that would have been, I would think, against the Hays Code or whatever else. But because I guess
it was just clothes. Yeah, it was clearly rotoscoped and like over footage of an actual woman dancing.
Right, but the actual clothes was like underwear. Like
right, exactly.
Lingerie type thing, a corset. And it had like really long sleeves.
Yeah.
I forget what the bottoms were, just some sort of stockings. I think the integration was fine. It's just the contrast between the other human type characters that we saw, but then these rotoscope clothes that felt like there was something in them because it was tracing over a person's body. It was just obviously different.
Yeah, and it's the progression of the cartoon is sort of strange too, and that it's like focused on all these billboard gags and songs. Then it transitions to, okay, we're still basically doing that, but with clothes without people in them, but people shaped or whatever. And then, oh, and now here's a chick from a billboard that goes out of the billboard and then is just messing with a worm. And like, then the like second half of the cartoon is focused fully on this chick and doesn't until the last little segment start pulling other billboards back in.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
The transition to the chick was clear to me in terms of like, oh, I'm a chicken from a billboard.
I think honestly, it feels slightly thrown off because of the clothes. Because the clothes is a little bit of a departure.
Yeah.
I think if we just stuck with billboards and then, oh, one of the billboards has a chick and it goes off of the billboard and starts doing stuff, that's a cleaner transition. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it happened like basically right after the clothes part, so that it wasn't as smooth a transition, I think.
And maybe if you had like a billboard hop out and dance with the clothes, I don't know how you would, if they would be loose clothes or somehow imbue the clothes with, maybe even hopped in the clothes. I don't know, but
there's like, definitely stuff you could have done to integrate it.
Yeah, and preserve that middle portion.
But if you'd done any of that, then it wouldn't have been basically reusing footage. So
no.
It wouldn't have had the cost benefit.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but I think that is what was needed, because you could either, like you said, have someone else hop out that was dancing with them, or someone that was playing a musical instrument or something that, you know, motivated the clothes to start dancing.
Yeah. If there's some sort of advertisement that purported to, like, get you dancing or make something dance, like, magically or compel them, that could have worked.
No, I think there's a lot of relatively easy solutions to have made that fit better than it did. What'd you guys think of the overall look? This was actually the last Warner Brothers cartoon filmed in two-strip Technicolor. So this is the last kind of green and red Warner Brothers cartoon.
To me, overall, the quality I thought was really there. Everything from the billboards to the, you know, some of it, I don't know if it was like supposedly rooftops or wherever. The aesthetics look good. I just am not big on the designs of the actual, especially people mm-hmm. that they had in billboards and some of that. Those aesthetics I didn't like. But the actual quality and, like I said, and drawing and crispness and saturation of the color, I don't know. I thought it looked really quality.
Several of the words you used is related not necessarily to the quality of the cartoon itself, but to the preservation of the short, because stuff like crispness and the saturation of the colors can be heavily damaged by poor preservation. Mm. And so some of the cartoons we get and some of the cartoons that, you know, exist in the future, when you don't have a good quality copy of it, it looks a lot worse, but that's not because it looked worse when it came out. Mm-hmm. That's because we just don't have the good copy of it. And it's nice that a majority of the Warner Brothers Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies cartoons we have in good quality, and like there's a fandom around these particular cartoons that like is always searching for better quality also, in a way that like I feel like Disney probably has great quality versions of all of their shorts and they just don't care to put most of them out, and it's really frustrating. But yeah, those sorts of things can definitely just be dependent on the quality of what they're working with rather than are purely indicative of the cartoon itself.
Got it.
But that said, yes, this cartoon was in very good quality.
The two-strip Technicolor might be a bit more limited, but they figured out how to work with it. It gives the cartoon a certain tone. That doesn't mean it's inferior to a three-strip Technicolor. It just is different. And yeah. I think it's just an indicator of time and stuff like that. So.
And honestly, I've watched a couple of Warner Brothers cartoons that I feel look even better than this using this color scheme. But, you know, I can only do so many. Have you guys watched so many cartoons? I saw a lot more than you guys did. There was actually a Warner Brothers cartoon that I liked more than this one or the Porky Pig one, but just was less historically significant. So I ended up cutting it from the lineup. But that it was Fritz Freleng one based on like Peter Rabbit and stuff. And since it's like outside and there's like a field of crops and stuff like that, the red and green color scheme worked even better to really make you feel that lushness of the greenery and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, thinking about it with the green, it kind of made the night, it felt like night, like you would be doing this in the day.
Yeah, because like you were saying, the color scheme reminded me of that city look, that nighttime look, that kind of glow. And again, the shadows and just even, for lack of a better, for some reason, when I think of like night and cities and city tops, I think of Gotham City. I don't know.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Batman. But it was that kind of vibe. So all of that then fit with that, because it did feel like you were in this top of building billboard world. You know?
Yeah. Let's go on to sound design, which I think Valerie knows is the most important part of this cartoon. This short is the first of the Warner Brothers shorts to feature the song Merrily We Roll Along, which would later become the opening theme for the Merry Melodies series of cartoons, starting with a cartoon in 1936. Yeah, the tune that they are singing to for most of this, and that most, I think that, I feel like, the clothes are dancing to a different tune which is just makes their inclusion all the more annoying. But most of the tune, most of them, the tune that they're dancing to is this song. That's the song that they're doing.
Got it.
Throughout this, and this is the first time that song appears.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. When it's obviously a song that Warner Brothers owned the rights to, and I wouldn't be surprised if it first showed up in, like, a live-action movie of some sort. But this is the first time it appears in a cartoon, and then it goes on to become probably most well-known at this point in 2023 as the Merry Melodies theme. One of the two most iconic old cartoon themes, the other being the Looney Tunes one that I can't think of right now, but when you hear it, you know. This is important in that sense, because I was watching this and I didn't know that ahead of time when I first watched this cartoon, and I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. Like, I know that.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
fully that. It's just like in my head, I'm like, are we going to hit those notes? Okay,
because I think it's a little slower than the one that's typically played in front of cartoons later.
Yes.
So it's not immediately apparent, but then, yeah, you're like, yeah, that is hitting the notes, like you said.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wasn't as quick to catch that.
I'm assuming you didn't catch that until I literally said just.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then you're like, I guess so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's that is honestly the main reason that we watch this cartoon, so that we can hear the first time that this iconic theme appears. So, and also it does, like Valerie kind of pointed out, fit in with a history of these sorts of cartoons that was started, I think, with that Bosco short with the, it was what, in a trolley car, the advertisements. So you know, I'm sure that there'll probably be at least one more cartoon in the future of this general style that we'll watch and be able to judge how that formula is evolving. Let's go on to the part that our podcast is named after. How's it hold up?
I just wanted to say, I guess it's an equal opportunity offensive cartoon. So I don't know if their strategy was, well, if we offend everyone, then maybe it won't be a problem.
I feel like, I think it's funny just because I feel like the way that you're framing this, everyone's going to assume, oh, so like blackface and stuff. But it didn't actually have that.
No. Oh, yeah, I guess so. I guess, but sex,
there's levels of offense.
Yeah, all kinds of sexism, all kinds of racism. Whether it was Russian or Mexican or what else?
I mean, the Mexican one didn't really. It was like tamales on a billboard singing, and they weren't even like accents. So that one, I mean, I'm not the Mexican heritage person in the room.
I think it's just
but
what they said. I think it's just some of the sayings
they say
on them.
On the billboards.
Yeah. I can't remember what it said. It is reductive in the terms of advertisement, so that it can, you know, communicate whatever it's trying to advertise. So, yeah, I think it's very reductive for a lot of stuff. It's probably pretty close to what the advertisements were of the time. So,
and just stereotypical.
Just riffing on what was used at the
100%.
Time.
And that's what I just meant is, and when I say offensive, not in the sense of just like putting down, but just very stereotypical.
Yes, 100%.
Is what I feel
yeah,
like.
Relying on a lot of just stereotypes that honestly are just so old at this point that they're, it's bare. It's hard to even feel anything about a lot of them.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Like, okay, sure. You're like,
yeah. I will say the way that the tamales were animated, I'm like, those don't look like what I would think.
I know, right? They look more like hot dogs or something.
Yeah, they look like a sausage.
Yeah, sausage. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I guess they're tied off on either end or something. I don't know.
And then some of the things like with the women, something like something about the women being after the men.
Yeah, that was on the bottle of milk. I think it was milk cart bottles or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there's definitely a lot of gags that is like text based on the billboards.
Yes.
A lot of which, like, I didn't really even pay attention to because I was mostly just watching the people dance. But like, there's a lot of stuff that you can catch, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, because I was trying I was trying to like read the billboards and stuff. But something like, you know, for the women, you know, to catch men or to trap men or I don't know.
I don't think it was quite that. But yeah, something to chase or catch or something.
And then something else with the women, you know, again, stereotypical roles, you know, the women doing the I don't know, the cleaning or so forth.
Yeah, that sort of just like so basic stuff of just like, okay, sure. Although the penguin smoking was certainly not a thing that I like
I know.
Expected. Yeah. Although I guess I can see the relation because penguins kind of look like they're wearing suits. And back in the day, they, you know, tried really hard to portray smoking as like this fancy man thing. So like the suits analogy, I can kind of see. But then they also had like wheels on them. So it was a lot of stuff going on with those penguins.
There was a lot of stuff. And the billboard itself said something like the name of the cigarettes on top. And the bottom said like suitable for man or beasts or something. Yeah. It was harder to read. Like they're not showing you the full billboard in view all the time. Usually they're zooming into a portion of it. And the characters start moving, but the text of it is backdrop and a bit obscured in a way.
I think also one of the ways that it doesn't hold up in a more basic way is just that most of these advertisements are for things that we don't like recognize anymore. Like most of them, it's like, I don't even know what this is. Whereas at the time you would have watched and been like, oh, of course. Cause I know the puppy that was from a thing that's from some, I don't have it written down, but I know that that is based on an advertisement from the day. And I'm sure that it would have been easily recognizable when this came out. Nowadays, the only one that I recognized, did you want to say, babe?
Yeah, there was an arm with like a hammer on it.
Oh,
but it was called Ham and Armor.
Yeah.
Instead of Arm and Hammer.
And that's like one of the few brands that still exists slash uses that similar iconography nowadays to where we recognize it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because some of the others were like cleaning product and cigarettes and other things. But yeah, that's,
yeah, I guess from that sense, there's probably quite a few of jokes that are lost to time.
I think there's arguably a lot of jokes lost to time in this. Like, yeah. I think probably most of these billboards are playing on, if not specific brands, then just types of advertisements that were more common then and not really now.
Yeah, probably famous campaigns that were ubiquitous at the time.
Exactly.
We just don't get.
And that's just, that sort of thing is going to continue to be a problem with Warner Brothers cartoons just because so much of their humor was often contemporary. I think a lot of their later cartoons do a better job of still having overall like structure and jokes and stuff that still work for a modern audience. But there's definitely just always going to be these sorts of jokes in Warner Brothers cartoons that just we don't really get anymore, or we only recognize as a continuation of a joke that we only know from these cartoons rather than its origination as making fun of a thing outside of a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know?
That's really interesting.
Yeah, especially, you know, the thing that I most think of is all the celebrity caricatures that appear in various cartoons. It's like, gosh, I don't even know how much I know what any of these people actually looked like in real life so much as I know the caricature on site, you know?
Mm. The only other thing that I was just thinking of that doesn't necessarily hold up is, I think, especially now, we're much more aware of anything that could be perceived as animal cruelty and so forth. And so, you know, I was surprised when the police car was trying to help the chick with the cat chasing. And I thought maybe they were just like, what's coming out of their guns was like water or something, but they were bullets. They were trying to shoot this
honestly,
poor cat.
I loved that bit just because I was like, oh, wow. Okay.
I know. Well, I mean,
a little while.
Yeah. And what I just mean is in old timey or whatever, you don't really think much about if they're supposed to be like, you know, Western and factions are shooting at each other, or even, you know, cop robber type thing, you know, where, you know, supposedly these bad guys or whatever they're shooting at. Not that that's good, but, you know, you don't normally see policemen shooting at a poor cat, but
I mean, you know,
but it was funny. I mean, it was funny.
Animal violence is definitely not a thing that's going away anytime soon.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, Tom and Jerry doesn't even exist yet.
Well, that's where I'm just saying I don't feel like that so much holds up if you're talking to present day, because I think we are much more cognizant.
No, I really find it funny when animals and cartoons are abusive to one another in hyper-violent ways, actually.
Or to each other, but human to animal is all I'm saying. That's all I was saying.
Sure, or yeah, especially more
outside,
more quote-unquote realistic humans. Right. Like, because yeah, like Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam are humans, but are like so not regular human. Like Elmer Fudd's proportioned like a baby, and Yosemite Sam's like just this tiny little man.
Yeah.
Like, they don't feel, it doesn't feel weird for Yosemite Sam, a human man, to be shooting at Bugs Bunny because he's proportioned cartoony enough.
Well, also, Bugs Bunny is more humanoid.
Exactly. Versus, also, yeah, it's meeting in the middle.
Versus this is a cat.
You're right, because, yeah, even comparing more contemporary of when they actually existed together, Bugs Bunny to Tom and Jerry, like, Tom in particular is typically, especially in early Tom and Jerry, but it varies depending on the short, depicted as a bit more cat-like rather than humanoid. And so, like, it feels different.
And within the context of the short, we know this is a real cat versus the billboards. Like, if it was a billboard cat, maybe it wouldn't have been as
That's true too.
Startling.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's all I was talking about. Because way back when we watched some of our first shorts, I think there was a man that literally tried to drown a cat. Like, and then it was like, whoa, that does not hold up. So that's just what I meant.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And also, like, we saw the one with Pluto taking to the dog pound, and there was quite a few things that felt harrowing for Pluto within that short.
Definitely. Let's go on to our favorites and least favorites. What was your least favorite moment in the cartoon? Pretty easy for me. I didn't need the dancing clothes. I feel like it throws off both the musical continuation of the cartoon and the conceptual of it. And I think it wouldn't have been that hard to not have it thrown off that much and still have that scene if you incorporated the transition into it better and also had it. I mean, probably part of the reason the music is different is because that's the music it was originally timed to. So, you know, yeah, that segment bothered me the most just because it didn't fit.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was when the bird started to go after the worm, and even though it was transitioning to an ending sequence, that's when it started to drag for me.
Definitely. The pace slows down a lot.
Yeah, and I agree with what both of you all are saying, but to me, what bothered me the most was that very first billboard.
Oh, yeah,
and
you hated that
one. I just really did not like the depiction of that one guy.
The hyper-detailed caricature.
Yeah, because especially it being opening up, I was relieved, actually, that they didn't continue that aesthetic into other things, because I was like, ew, I'm not going to like this.
What was your favorite moment in the cartoon? I mean, honestly, probably just the dawning realization that Merrily We Roll Along is, like, playing, and it's, like, the dominant music in here. If you want a specific moment, then I think I'd say the cop shooting at the cat, just for sheer, like, oh, wow, okay. Can't believe they went there, of it all.
The music was kind of that most engaging part, because I'm trying to be like, is this it? And then realizing, oh, yeah, okay, this is it. But I liked the ham and armor joke.
No, that one was funny,
I recognized
too.
It. I'm like, ah, I got it.
Just think, back in the day, that's what everyone was feeling with, like, a lot of the jokes.
I know.
Now we just got the one. Ah, I recognize that.
Yes.
The one Family Guy style joke.
I want to say there was another part that I am just cannot come to my brain that I was like, oh, I really kind of laughed at. But I think I'm going to go with the very end with the arm and hammer joke.
Oh, I remember the part. It was when the chick was going after the worm and bit something and pulled it out, and it was an air pump tire. And then the thing fell on it,
yes.
and it made the chick inflated. Turn into inflated into like a circle, and it floated up.
Yes, that was I am going to say that. It was so cute. Yes, I'm going to go with that.
Because you you said stuff out loud, I remember.
Yes. Thank you. Yay.
You're welcome.
Because I just, for some reason, could not remember that. But it's so funny how your mind worked. Because I remembered that something went up, and then it was coming down, that I just really enjoyed that. But yeah, it was the chick just being blown up. So cute.
Who was your least favorite character in the short? Characters is generous.
Gonna have to say that caricature of the poor
guy. Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
so sorry. He just looked too creepy.
Yeah. He wasn't a character that was throughout, but he was a character. He sang, and he's a caricature of a person. Like, yeah.
Like, there weren't a really characters.
My least favorite characters was the dancing clothes.
I was thinking you were going to say that, but no, that's fair.
My least favorite character was specifically the dancing lady clothes. So that it's a more specific character. I would have cut the whole clothes bit, but at least right. the other guys were having a funny butt joke with having the flap yes, of their yeah. of their pajamas like hitting like a stuff to do drum sounds.
Yeah.
And that was because they were doing like a kind of squat too. So that was like amused me a little bit, you know?
I think I'll go with the cat mostly because of the animation. Whenever it would zoom in real close to the cat, there was like one, twice it did that. I think it was the same animation. The cat was like bloodshot eyes.
Yeah.
And the background was blank. Even though there was ostensibly, it was night. It was, so I don't know. I felt like there was, I don't know if it was shortcuts taken or what, but it was in the part of the short that dragged on.
Hey, guess what? You might not be surprised about this. That's also traced over old animation.
Yeah.
That's also reusing animation, basically.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who was your favorite character?
I am going with the chick. Even though there were parts that it dragged, I like this chick. I mean, because it was, yeah, it was going after a worm, but then it kind of became the victim. But then it was still trying to persevere. And sorry, it cracked me up. I could have almost said this is my favorite part. Sorry, there was one interaction with the cat when it first realized the cat was there. And after it, then it kind of just did this smile and I'm just going to saunter off as
it reminded me of like Mickey doing that with like when Pete's like aggressing him and he's kind of like, oh no, it's fine. I'll just go.
Yeah, I'll just walk this way.
Or big scary animal is there or something.
Yeah, and it's like,
just, which is what this particular thing was.
Yeah, but. just don't mind me. I'm just, yeah. But anyway, yeah. So I like the chick overall.
That was funny. I don't know. I don't really have a favorite. I can't even remember all the Billboard ones to try to find one.
If I was just saying my favorite Billboard, I think it'd just be the penguins, because penguins are fun.
Yeah, I feel like that was the most inoffensive or something. I guess I'll agree with the chick. I don't know.
My favorite is the worm or caterpillar, whatever it's supposed to be. Because I actually was really amused that like the chick got it, and then it was holding on, and then it's like, no, and then it's like hit the apple, which smashed into the chick. And then I liked when it was running away and it turned into a wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that little guy. All
right.
Let's go on to our overall consensus and what we would rate it.
As a whole, I don't think this short is that good. It's fine. But hearing the tune was delightful. So, yeah, you can watch it if you want to kind of hear that. So, light recommendation, I guess. Very light. Because I'm going to give it, I'm waffling between a 1.25 and a 1.5, but I guess I'll go with a 1.5.
I'm going to also just very, 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 very lightly recommend for some of the animation quality with a really nice job with the 2D animation and then the tune that we are alluding to. But I'm going to go 1.25 because I would rather watch Jolly Little Elves.
I don't feel very strongly. I'll just say 1.5. It's fine. You could do worse, but I'm quite sure you could do better. It's really just interesting because you're like, oh, that's the theme song playing. And that's it.
So recommended?
Oh, I don't recommend it.
At all?
Nah.
Got it.
Thank you all very much for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
And next time, we'll be checking in with another Fleischer cartoon star. A different one from last time. He's going to go to the Overture and Probably Overture.
Popeye.
Yeah, it's Popeye.
Oh, okay.
I think that could be okay. Funny.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Yuck, 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 yuck. Bye.
Bye.
This has been How's It Hold Up with Danica Juarez and Jan James. You can find our podcast on Twitter at How's It Hold Up Pod. That's with each word capitalized and no apostrophe. Also, if you'd like to support us, we have a Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/user?u=2790566. Every little bit helps, and even with a minimum pledge, you get access to things you won't hear in our main podcast feed. Check it out for more info. The two pieces of music used in this episode were created by Kevin MacLeod. You can find both The Curtain Rises and Cool Cats at incomptech.com. That's incomptech.com. Both songs were licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. More info on that can be found at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0. Thanks for listening. Let's go on to our overall consensus and what we would rate
that it. That was least favorite that character.
Hey, babe, if you could cut my loud.
I don't know. I kind of want to leave it.
Oh, man.